Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Purport. So this is quite a long purport and filled with, Srila Prabhupada has packed it with so much knowledge and information and nectar. It's difficult when you have to read that it goes back to our childhood that when someone starts to read, we immediately start to relax. And just like when our grandmother or mother or father used to read to us at bedtime, it becomes a little like that. So we'll have to try extra hard to stay awake. I'm sure some of you may slip into samadhi hearing the nectarian words, but if we can try to stay awake and concentrate, I'll also try to do the same thing with your prayers and blessings. Purport. In his Anubhasya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the actual effect that will be visible as soon as one achieves transcendental knowledge is that he will immediately become free from the clutches of Maya and fully engage in the service of the Lord. Unless one serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda, one cannot become free from fruitive activities under the external energy. However, when one chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one can realize a transcendental position that is completely aloof from the material conception of life. Rendering service to the Lord, a devotee relates to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one of five relationships, namely Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. And thus, he relishes transcendental bliss in that relationship. Such a relationship certainly transcends the body and mind. When one realizes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Supreme Person, he becomes completely eligible to chant the holy name of the Lord. Such an ecstatic chanter and dancer must be considered to have a direct relationship with the Lord. According to the Vedic principles, there are three stages of spiritual advancement, namely Sambandhagyan, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandhagyan refers to establishing one's original relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Abhideya refers to acting according to that constitutional relationship. And Prayojana is the ultimate goal of life, which is to develop love of Godhead. Prema Pumartha Mahan. If one adheres to the regulative principles under the order of the spiritual master, he very easily achieves the ultimate goal of his life. A person who is addicted to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra very easily gets the opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. There is no need for such a person to understand the grammatical jugglery in which Mayavad sannyasis generally indulge. Sri Shankaracharya also stressed this point. Nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karane. Simply by juggling grammatical suffixes and prefixes, one cannot save himself from the clutches of death. The grammatical word jugglers cannot bewilder a devotee who engages in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Simply addressing the energy of the Supreme Lord as Hari and the Lord Himself as Krishna, very soon situates the Lord within the heart of the devotee. By thus addressing Radha and Krishna, one directly engages in His Lordship's service. The essence of all revealed scriptures and all knowledge is present when one addresses the Lord and His energy by the Hare Krishna mantra. For this transcendental vibration can completely liberate a conditioned soul and directly engage him in the service of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as a grand fool. Yet, he maintained that all the words that he had heard from his spiritual master strictly followed the principles stated by Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam 176. Anato pasham sakshad bhakti yogam adhokshaje lokaschanato vidvams chakre satvata samihitam. The material miseries of a living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. One can overcome all misconceptions and entanglement in the material world by practicing bhakti yoga, and therefore Vyasadeva, acting on the instructions of Sri Narada, has very kindly introduced Srimad Bhagavatam to relieve the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master instructed him, therefore, that one must read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and with scrutiny to gradually become attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Holy Name and the Lord are identical. The Holy Name and the Lord are identical. The Holy Name and the Lord are identical. One who is completely free from the clutches of Maya can understand this fact. This knowledge, which is achieved by the mercy of the spiritual master, places one on the supreme transcendental platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as a fool, because prior to accepting the shelter of a spiritual master, he could not understand that simply by chanting, one can be relieved from all material conditions. But as soon as he became a faithful servant of his spiritual master and followed his instructions, he very easily saw the path of liberation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra must be understood to be devoid of all offenses. The 10 offenses against the holy name are as follows. 1. To blaspheme a devotee of the Lord. 2. To consider the Lord and the demigods to be on the same level, or to think that there are many gods. 3. To neglect the orders of the spiritual master. 4. To minimize the authority of the scriptures, Vedas. Jai Shishi Radha Gokul Ananda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. 5. To interpret the holy name of God. 6. To commit sins on the strength of chanting. 7. To instruct the glories of the Lord's name to the unfaithful. 8. To compare the chanting of the holy name with material piety. 9. To be inattentive while chanting the holy name. And 10. to be attached to material things in spite of chanting the holy name. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Dhapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patinanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivazadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Verse again. Krishna mantra hoite habe samsaramuchan, Krishna nama hoite pabe Krishna racharan. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. So, if we were able to listen to that purport, you'll realize that even if we had 7 days, we couldn't convey all the nectar that was wrapped up in that purport. It reminds me of the introduction to Sri Ishopanishad, the lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave at Conway Hall. Just so much knowledge and information that it would be almost impossible for anyone even sitting, listening and hearing that lecture to absorb and take on everything that was being said. Often think that Srila Prabhupada obviously understood that these lectures would be recorded and transcribed for generations and years to come, so that the Sangha of devotees could relish and dive deeply into his words and could obviously grow in their spiritual development. Srila Prabhupada here in this purport is stressing a number of points. And this section is in relation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself admitting that he is simply a fool. Actually, the preceding verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is stating that my spiritual master, speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati, that my spiritual master has told me that you are a fool and that you're not qualified to study Vedanta, so simply you should just chant Hare Krishna. And at least twice in this purport, Srila Prabhupada repeats Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's humility. First he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered himself a grand fool. Not just a fool, but a grand fool, a big fool, a maha fool. So, if this is the mood of the Lord, then what should be our mood in thinking that we're something exalted or something special? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that this verse, Trinadapi Suniche Nato Orapi Suhishnuna Amani Namani Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari, it should be strong on a thread of the holy name and worn around the neck of a devotee at all times. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is setting the perfect example here by expressing that he's simply a fool. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was definitely not a fool, as we know fools. He was Nimai Pandit. He was Nimai of Nadia. He was the greatest scholar. He was able to defeat the topmost philosophers. He wasn't a fool. He wasn't a fool. He was exceptionally versed in the Vedic scripture. He could have debates, and when the person he was debating with would run dry of the ability to debate in philosophy, he would continue debating with himself and defeat himself. Then he would defeat the way that he defeated himself. He was not a fool. But what's being stated here is that he was a complete and absolute fool because he didn't have full faith in the fact that the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, could deliver him completely. So just this one thing made the greatest scholar in the whole world a fool. So how do we apply this in our own lives? Well, the nature of the living entity is to be conditioned by the three modes of material nature. And the predominating factor of this conditioning is called false ego. And to a greater or lesser extent, each and every one of us is controlled by false ego. And this false ego, the purpose and the duty of the false ego is to keep us in illusion. And what is that illusion? That illusion is to make me think that I am the center of the universe, that everything revolves around me, and that I am always right. Anyone here has ever thought that they were right about something and it turned out that you weren't? Anyone? How did that feel? I really remember it for a minute. Like, not just the thing like yesterday I forgot the car keys and I thought they were over here, but like, you know, you're having an interaction with someone where you're really giving it to them about it's like this and it's like that. And then it all of a sudden turns out to not be this or not that. And you're standing before this person that you were completely convinced you were in the proper situation. And then all of a sudden it turns out that you aren't. How did you feel? How does it feel? Like that? Feel this big, huh? Or even smaller. Yeah, you feel smaller than the atomic soul. The soul is 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, but you become smaller than that. It's like you feel completely exposed and revealed, and actually that moment is probably the moment where you feel like a fool. You actually feel like a fool. Like really feel like a fool. And in your mind, and this is the game, in your mind you're thinking, oh, I'm wrong. But something kicks in that makes you want to be right. So you, the mind and false egos immediately starts to conjure up a way that you can still be right. Right? The nature of the false ego is to eradicate any possibility of me actually being a fool. But the fact of the matter is, whether we like it or not, we are all actually fools. Perfect. Now, it's tough enough to have our own kind of realization of myself being a fool. That's difficult enough as it is. But to have another jiva or another living entity help us to understand that we're a fool, that's even harder. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his spiritual master, said, "You are simply a fool." And if you're a knowledgeable person, or you have some skill or some ability, immediately, just like a cat when a dog walks into the room, you ever seen like the back of a cat, like that? Immediately, the false ego's like, "You're talking to me? You're calling me a fool? I'm a fool?" And again, the artillery of all the things this person has ever done, all of their faults, all of their issues, all of their transgressions of etiquette for the last 10,000 lifetimes comes flooding to the forefront. And our nature is to strike back, to rebel, to prove I'm not a fool. The nature is to defend. You know, this defending propensity within the living entity, it exists. Yeah, we fight for our property or our homeland or something like that. But the main defending that is going on day in and day out is that we are defending our false ego. Every second of every day, we're defending that persona that we've spent our whole lives trying to create, to give to the world. We spend so many hours, so much time and energy is spent just defending that which is not. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explains that one who criticizes me, he is my best friend. And one who is glorifying me, actually he is my worst enemy. Just like the mind. The mind is always helping us to feel good about whatever we've done, even if it's something wrong. Right? The nature of justification. Well, I did it, but this was there, that was there, and that so many justifications. But actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu setting the perfect example, he took the words from his spiritual master and put them directly into his heart, and he accepted, "My God, I am such a fool." And immediately that qualified him to begin to chant the holy names. Of course, we're speaking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is actually non-different from the holy name. But the point being that this symptom of humility, Trinadapi Sunichena, this is the first to be able to accept. Otherwise, why do we chant? What is the point of chanting? Srila Prabhupada gives the 10 offenses. Interesting, if you were able to stay conscious till the end, you will notice that those 10 offenses are given slightly differently than we read them, slightly differently than we understand them. So you can look at that later. But are we chanting because we want something? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, desire, 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 this please, Hare Krishna. Are we chanting because, as Srila Prabhupada said, we should chant like a child cries for the mother? And why does a child cry for the mother? Because the child feels helpless. The child feels afraid. The child feels lost, bereft of shelter. You see, in a young child, there's just complete dependence on the parent. There's an absence of false ego. There's a feeling that I can't do this. I need help. But once the false ego starts to develop, also the mentality that I don't need any help. I'm independent. I'm okay. I don't need anyone interfering. I don't need God. People have this mentality. We don't need anything. We're okay. I can stand on my own 2 feet. I can do it. But the mood of one who is able to really take shelter of the holy name is that one understands, I'm completely helpless. I am absolutely, completely helpless in this world. And without the mercy of Vaishnavas, and without the mercy of the holy name, without the mercy of Krishna, nothing, absolutely nothing is possible. And Krishna can take it away. Anything that we think we have, it can be taken away just like that. One devotee was saying the other day that, and described that in materialistic life, we spend our entire life accumulating things of value. Things that we consider great value. We spend our entire life communicating. Ask anyone who has a house or a flat or any place with any space in it. The immediate nature, even the brahmacharis. I've got a locker that's 2x2 and it's got so much stuff in it. You know, a house, if you're a householder, be honest. How much stuff is in your house? Our whole life is about accumulation of things that we give value. And it's like a game that at the end of life, he or she who has the most things of value wins. Like we think like that, I think, is right. Like if I, and that and that and that and all these things, then at the end I'll win the game of life. But this devotee was describing that no matter what the value is of all these things you accumulate and spend so much time and energy accumulating throughout your whole life, at the time of death, every single one of them has the value of zero. Because you're not taking any of them with you. Where you're going, they're not going with you. Like the tombs of the pharaohs, right, in ancient Egypt, filled with all the riches and gold. Because they thought that at the time of death, this boat was going to come and put them on it and fill them up with all their riches and whisk them away. Years later, plunderers kick open the doors of the tombs and they just take everything. In the same way, at the time of death, you're not going to take one fiber of anything that you have. But yet we're absolutely convinced that we're in control. We don't realize how helpless we are, that Krishna, at the time of death, it's all going to stay behind. What is our only shelter? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when we pick up the beads and we put our hand in the bag and we start to chant, are we conscious of this? Are we absolutely conscious of the fact that this holy name is my lifeline? This is actually the only thing. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that within all the 14 worlds, the only thing is the holy name of Krishna. Everything is comprised of the holy name. There is nothing other than the holy name. Because the holy name is non-different from Krishna. As Prabhupada repeated several times in this purport, the holy name is identical with the Supreme Lord Himself. And the Supreme Lord is present in every particle of matter. If we had divine vision and we could see the world as it is, really as it is, we would see Krishna in everything. We would understand Krishna's energy all around us, comprising us. And when we began to chant the holy name, we would be transported to the spiritual world. As this verse is explaining, we would have direct darshan. We're given direct darshan of the Lord every single day. But what is our consciousness when we're gazing upon the Lord? Are we genuinely absorbed in the fact that the merciful Lord is giving me His darshan? Or is our mind wandering to other places that are much more important? When we chant the holy name, are we remembering that this holy name is non-different from Krishna? And this is my lifeline. This is my only sanctuary. This is the only thing that is going to help me at the time of death. This is the only thing that's going to be there eternally. And we really take shelter? Or do we chant the holy name while our mind wanders to places that are more important? To business that is more important? To activities that are much more important? Srila Prabhupada gave his life in the service of his spiritual master to give all of us the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A man at the advanced age of 70, embarking on a mission to try to help suffering humanity. And not just by planting a few seeds or digging a well or giving some clothes or saving some trees or some whales, but actually by giving them the most valuable thing, the most important thing, the thing that can really save them. And that's the holy name of Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada points out in his purport here, which I thought was quite pertinent and very important, is that one can only develop the capacity to chant the holy name properly by... Does anyone remember what Srila Prabhupada said? Say it again. Yes. He said by... hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or by, here it is, by absorbing oneself fully in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I can't find the exact quote. But Prabhupada explained that one has to absorb themselves in hearing and chanting. A lot of times my experience in is that devotees, they're often chanting, but very rarely do you find devotees are actually reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Like there may be out of 100 devotees who are chanting regularly, steadily, but many devotees, they're actually not reading Srila Prabhupada's books. It takes too much time just to chant 16 rounds, what to speak of having time to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Many devotees I know, for many years, they still haven't read the Bhagavatam. What to speak of the Chaitanya Charitamrita? But Srila Prabhupada is explaining that we have to be taking shelter of the Bhagavatam. So this is another very important aspect of our devotional life, that if we are not absorbing ourselves in the pages of the Bhagavatam, and those of us who are reading regularly, you know that when you don't read, and even you're chanting 16 rounds, at least for me personally, there's a big difference. Whereas if I'm actually genuinely getting absorbed in the Bhagavatam, it's a different world. It's like the mind becomes saturated with Krishna consciousness. So when the mind starts to drift off, it drifts to something, a place that's good. The pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, the pastimes of Ajamil, the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, you know, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mind drifts there. You see, this mind is like, you know, it's like a database. You know, the intelligence rather is like the database, and the mind is like the interface. And we have to fill that intelligence with all the right things. Otherwise, the amount of time that we're spending filling it with other things, those are the things that we're going to think about. Some devotees were sharing the other day about some people were relaying experiences that they had they had a near-death experience. And it's described that when you have these intense experiences that you think, oh my God, I'm going to die. It's described that your whole life flashes before you like a movie on fast forward. So many scenes come up. And there were lots of people who were sharing that when that happened to them, that like a roulette wheel, you know what a roulette wheel is? They spin this wheel and they drop the ball on. And then the ball lands in a specific place. So like that, the mind is, where is it going to stop? And many people were describing that it stopped in the most unusual places, but it didn't have much to do with Krishna. Many were describing that it stopped in a place of unfulfilled desires or things they wished they had done in life, or negative impressions that had been so powerful in their life that their mind was just attracted back to that incomplete activity or that negative activity. So if we're not conscious and consciously trying to generate and input proper things, then who knows where our mind, at the time of death, whatever your consciousness is, presto, as if by magic, the material energy will formulate a new body for you to fulfill those desires. And you've got 8,400,000 species to fulfill all of the different desires. It's wonderful, isn't it? The possibilities are limitless. So we shouldn't rest on just thinking that, anyway, I'm chanting and doing some service, and at the time of death, I'll be okay. Maybe we will. Maybe Lord Chaitanya's mercy will flow to us, like Srila Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj approached Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, I'm not chanting properly, I'm not reading, all I'm thinking about is bricks and mortar, building this temple. Every day I'm dreaming about it. And he said, Prabhupada, I need to chant. And Prabhupada said, just keep thinking about bricks and mortar. Build this temple for Krishna, and at the time of death, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will force his way into your mind and take you back to Godhead. Haribo! We hear that instruction, we think, good, that works for me too. But we see in the life of Tamal Krishnamurti, he didn't just do that. He also continued to chant very intensely, study, read, speak. One has to sincerely take shelter of the process that's been given. Not that we become relaxed. And actually, if we're honest, the propensity in the living entity is to become relaxed, to become complacent. The default is anyway. And I can speak about this from deep realization, because I know how easy it is to just become relaxed in spiritual life and just glide along. But actually, if we want to be really happy and enlivened, then we have to get into it. We have to become enthusiastic. Utsahan nishchaya daryat. If we're not enthusiastic, what's going to happen? We're just complacent. Prabhupada explained that spiritual life is like swimming against the grain or the current of a river. There's no treading water. I'm okay, it's all right, no problem. I did this, I already did. I've been doing this for 20 years, 30 years, no problem, it's okay. Meanwhile, the current is pushing us downstream. But if one is enthusiastically continuing to try to take shelter of the holy name, continually digging into with enthusiasm, with renewed enthusiasm every day, thinking, I really have to try to give myself to the process, smacking yourself in the face, why am I thinking like this? I'm a fool. I have no hope. I need to take shelter. I really need to take shelter. Why am I thinking that I don't? What is it that's making me think I don't? What is it that's allowing me to not be taking full shelter right now? What is that? And kick it out and take shelter. Really, really give yourself to it. As I'm preaching here, I want you to know I'm really preaching to myself, okay? I'm sure all of you are with deep enthusiasm every day, chanting and hearing and dancing. But I'm just speaking for myself. It's explained that the speaker is the person who gets the most purified, you know, when you give a class. So I'm hoping some purification will come. That I can actually wake up and really take shelter of the holy name and take shelter of the association of devotees, take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam and understand the remarkable and amazing gifts that Srila Prabhupada and my spiritual master have given me and become grateful. Not a grateful. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Brinda ki jai.